So we have just perhaps one of the most famous parables that Jesus gives. It's one that's familiar to all of us. It's a beautiful story. And it's easy sometimes when we hear these famous and familiar stories to kind of just gloss over them. Oh, I know what's going to happen. The son goes away, he comes back, the elder brother gets mad, whatever else. But it's always new. So St. Paul was saying in that second reading, the old has gone, the new has come. Every time, especially the gospel, but every time the scriptures are proclaimed, it's a new event in our life. Once again, the heart of the Father is being revealed to his children. And so it's fitting that this parable takes place within the setting of a family, especially since we are here at Holy Family Parish, this special anointing on us as this family of God. So we ask ourselves, where do we fit in this story? So it's famously called the prodigal son. Prodigal meaning like wasteful, not being very thrifty, not being mindful, taking what I want and using it as I please. So, but maybe we can call it the merciful father, or we can call it the angry, older, bratty brother. It's usually the younger brothers who are bratty, but in this story, we have the older brother being a brat. So where do we fit into this? You know, Jesus, this is the third in a series of parables he tells back to back about a lost sheep and a lost coin and the joy that is there when these things that are lost are found. So maybe we can call this the parable of the lost son. This son of mine was lost and he has been found. And what did he lose? What was lost in this young man? Perhaps we could say he lost his identity. He no longer knew who he was. Maybe we could say he never knew his identity. And this is why he wanted his stuff and to go away, to make his own life. And Jesus is telling this story to the Pharisees and the scribes who are themselves being bratty because they're mad that Jesus is talking with the tax collectors and the sinners, those forgotten, those undesirable, those unworthy. So when Jesus was receiving these impolite words, these unkind gestures towards him, what was his response? He didn't defend himself. He didn't even scold the Pharisees. He said, let me tell you a story. As a good father would, when his sons aren't getting along well, he tries to draw them together without causing further division. Because Luke is telling this story as the only Gentile writer of the Gospels. So he's broadening even our reading, our perspective of the message of the Gospel. Because the father had two sons. The northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. The father has two sons, the Jews and the Gentiles. The Gentiles are the ones who fully assimilated with the enemy. With the pagans, began to idol worship. They lost everything. But then the other son, the Jews who stayed faithful, at least on the surface. This is what's going on. These Jews, these Pharisees, these scribes who are so particular about the jot and tittle of every law. Why is Jesus not giving us special treatment? We've been here all this time. We're doing the right thing. Why do they get the attention? How easy it is for envy and jealousy and hatred to creep into our hearts even when we try to do the right thing. And this story is easy for us to focus on the son who went away. And there's a little bit of prodigal in each one of us. And I'm sure, and especially in a retreat setting, we could tell our own prodigal story. How I was once lost, how I took my stuff and went away and lived a life of dissipation. I can tell that story. September 9th, 2005, I woke up and said, I came to myself and said, I need to go back home. This story resonates with each one of us. And I went back home. And the Father welcomed me. And praise God, I'm a priest of Jesus Christ. But for those of us who are here doing the right thing, have our hearts been transformed? Because in that first reading with Joshua, when he says that the reproach of the Lord has been removed from you, the reproach of Egypt, what he's saying is that you are circumcised. All you adult males, you are circumcised, and now you can enter into the promised land. That was their reproach. So luckily we're not there. But what Jeremiah tells us, what Ezekiel tells us, is that the new circumcision is a circumcision of our hearts. And so all the practices that we do, all our religious piety, as good and beautiful and necessary as they are, if they don't change our hearts, we're just like the older son, refusing to come in and celebrate. This season of Lent is a journey. It's a journey to the depths of our heart, where the Lord is inviting us to surrender everything in us that's not of Him. As difficult as that journey may be, because of original sin and personal sin, we are lost. And some of us are dead. But the Father never stops loving. What a beautiful image, the Father running out to the Son to greet Him. What a beautiful image, the Father going out to the bratty older son. That's what the Father does. He goes out to His children to welcome them home. Have you allowed the Father to come to you? Have you allowed the Father to welcome you, either from the depths of the death of mortal sin, or from the brattiness because you're mad because someone else is getting what you think you deserve? But what was the Father's reply to the older son? Everything I have is yours. That's what the Father tells you. If you've been baptized, you are an heir to the throne. You have a rightful place in heaven, and everything the Father has is yours. Do you believe it? Do you want it? Allow this season of Lent to be transforming for you and for your family. Seek reconciliation that St. Paul was talking about. Be reconciled. I appeal to you, my brothers, be reconciled to God. This is why we can wear robes and rejoice in the promise of reconciliation. That those of us who were dead and now are alive, those of us who are dead will be alive. This is why we rejoice. This is new life. And when we go to the foreign land and we allow that culture to take us away, and we don't have to go to a foreign land. We can just turn on our phones or turn on the TV and be distracted by the culture, be distracted by politics in the church and outside the church. We can allow lots of things to separate us. The Father is waiting for each one of us to realize there's nothing better than to be with the Father's house. As a son and a daughter, knowing that everything of His is ours, and that this is the source of our true joy. Let's ask for that grace. Let's ask for the grace, the courage to return home and allow the Father to say to us, "Welcome home."